Well, all right. Can I have a couple of people help me with the communion? Yeah, we'll... Communion is a fun thing when you get a revelation of how to take it and what it's about. Here's a really, really cool thing about communion. See, a lot of times in the Word of Faith circles, people will get the idea that when you pray the prayer of faith over them, that they've got to receive their healing. It's got to be right now, instantaneously. But see, God meets us where we're at. And He gave us communion. And we can receive a little at a time. Don't get me wrong. Absolute miracles and instantaneous healings have been received at communion time too. You know. But the thing is God is so good that He meets us where we're at. You know, we don't have to rise to a certain level. He meets us and helps us. He helps us along the way. Paul said that the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among us is because they don't discern the body of Christ. And God gave us these particular directions on how to make this bread so that we can discern the body of Christ. Everything about this bread typifies Jesus, His body. It's made without yeast, and yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. Jesus' body was certainly sinless. Also, this bread has been beaten, and Jesus was certainly beaten and bruised for us. And this bread has stripes in it, and it's by His stripes we were healed. This bread has been pierced. When Jesus was on that cross, the Roman soldier thrust a spear into His side. Also, this bread has been slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus. The judgment that was made for us, that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus. He took it all so that we can stand in God's presence as though nothing ever happened. Because the blood of Jesus took care of that. His body was broken. We're taking this for our healing and our well-being. We thank You for it. We receive the life of Christ into us. Jesus' blood was shed all over the place. Not only are we saved by the blood, but our sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. 1 John 1:7 says that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. This blood also paved the way into the Holy of Holies so that we can go in there now and have fellowship with our Father. This blood also seals in the New Testament promises for us. We plead the blood of Jesus for our protection and our healing. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. There's victory in the blood. There's victory in the blood. I bet the suspense is getting deep. Oh boy, they're going to pop. They're going to pop. Okay, you can go to children's church now. All right. Open up your Bibles to John chapter 19. And we're going to look at three little words. John chapter 19, verse 30. I want to build a foundation for this before we get there. I'm going to pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is here to teach us and guide us and show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. We thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given unto us. Now, we are confident that we can open up your word. We can read it for ourselves. And we can receive revelation from you. And we can get rhema word in our hearts. And we can walk in the freedom that Christ paid for us to have. Walk in that true liberty. We praise you and we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Jesus had already went through the trial with Pontius Pilate. He had already been beaten on. He had been already to the, he had been scourged. He went through all of this. He had already walked all the stations of the cross. He had been through all of that. And he was on the cross. And the very last thing he said on that cross, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, after reading the Gospels, you'd think, you know, you'd kind of wonder, what is finished? Was it the beatings, the scourging, the dying? It wasn't the passion that was finished. That certainly was finished. But there's so much more. These three words are so deep and so big. I want you to go back and look up on Facebook where we post these messages, or go on to the website and watch these. Rewatch these. Rewatch these messages. And watch them again, and watch them again. And watch how much more freedom you walk in. Keep watching them. Remember, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And the greatest way to receive faith is to see Jesus in His grace. And watch how much faith happens in your heart. So just exactly what is finished? You know, go to Isaiah chapter 53. And this is a prophecy. And just if you're taking notes, there's another prophecy that you don't hear much about. But Psalms chapter 22 is another prophecy about this. The whole book of Psalms chapter 22. Go back and read it. That's a long read, but I'm not going to go there. But I will read a little bit about Isaiah 53. It says, "Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." You know, Hollywood missed it. All these pictures you see of Jesus hanging on the cross, that's not close. That's not close. Because when they looked on Jesus, when he was on that cross, they couldn't tell he was a man. He was a piece of meat on that cross. He was so tore up. They couldn't tell he was a person. There's no form of lowliness in him. No, just like the psalmist said, or just like this guy prophesied. Isaiah said, there's no comeliness. No beauty. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. There's a lot of scripture right there. We go through that when we take communion. You know, if you're taking communion at home, it wouldn't hurt you to just open up to Isaiah 53 and go through that and see the body of Jesus in that bread that we use. Amen? It's a good thing to look at the sacrifice of Jesus. Some people, after the Passion of Christ, some people ask me, said, why was it so horrible? I said, he had to go through that sacrifice for us. He had to take everything that we deserved so that we could get what he deserved. Amen? Turn over to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 25. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Fulfillment of all scriptures of the sufferings of Christ and every prophecy of God has come true or will come true, and some are happening before our very eyes. See, in the Old Testament, Jesus was concealed. You couldn't just look in there and see Jesus. But God was prophesying all these things that Jesus was going to do. He started prophesying this in the garden. He told the devil, he said, he tricked him. He said, there's coming one that's going to bruise your head. The seed of woman. He threw that in there. The seed of woman. And the devil bought into it hook, line, or the seed of woman. He said, the devil bought into that hook, line, and sinker. You know, women don't have seed. Amen. Of eggs. So that threw him completely off guard. But he did get one thing. He said, there's coming one that's going to bruise your head. So he figured it had to be from the Adamite race. So he started killing anybody that was a possibility. That's why these prophets were dying all the way through the Old Testament. Satan would see somebody that looked a little bit lit up, and he said, I can't take a chance on this one. He'd kill him. He finally got so frustrated that he tried to destroy the Adamite race by the blood. You know, you heard about Goliath? David and Goliath. You know, Goliath was a different breed. He come from a tribe of people that had crossed with these angels. They called them Nephilims. Some people don't like to hear this, but this is the way it is. Satan knew that somebody from Adam's tribe was going to come and bruise his head. So he had to try to destroy that bloodline. That's why there was only 8 righteous people that got on that boat. Man, it didn't work. He didn't get them. But he kept trying to destroy and destroy and destroy and destroy. Every time he seen somebody with that anointing, he tried to destroy him. So then Jesus came here, and Satan thought, I finally got him. He got him on the cross. And Satan was thinking that all of his troubles were over. He thought he was going to get the head, get the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. And then the baptism of the Holy Spirit happened in that upper room, and Peter walked out of there and he looked just like Jesus in Satan's eyes. You want to know how you look? Just like Jesus in Satan's eyes. You're anointed. You're a little anointed one. You are a Christian. Amen. All of these prophecies had to be fulfilled. And they were. And Jesus got down here. He fulfilled all of them that were spoken about him. Or he is. And he's in the process of doing them now. Look down to verse 44. Says, he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Everything that God talked about had to be fulfilled. Why? Why is that so important? Because if it didn't get fulfilled, then God would be a liar. Now, that's not going to happen. You can balance your checkbook on this fact that if God said it, it's going to happen. And in fact, it's already happened as far as he's concerned. You know, there's a lot of people that aren't born again yet, but their names are wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't that something? We used to run around evangelizing, and we'd tell people, said, you got to get born again so you can get your name wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. We were wrong. You know, they did need to get born again, but they were already wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. But the Bible does say, you need to make sure that you don't get your name blotched out of the Lamb's Book of Life. How does that happen? By not being born again before you leave this earth. Once you get born again, you're in. Amen? But God is a faith God. And he calls things that aren't as though they are. Amen? Look at John chapter 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith I thirst. He's fulfilling scripture. He had to completely fulfill the law of the prophets, scripture. He had to do it all. He had to get all that done. And then, when that happened, he could say, it is finished. Yeah. But that's not all he did. There's a lot of people wandering around fighting the devil. There are a lot of people going to war with the devil. There's a lot of people doing all kinds of things about trying to defeat the devil. You know, when Jesus said, it is finished, the defeat of Satan was wrapped up in that too. The defeat of Satan was wrapped up in those three words. Look at John chapter 12, verse 31. John chapter 12, verse 31 says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Jesus certainly got lifted up from the earth when he got on his cross. And we're drawn to him by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit draws us to him by the Holy Spirit. People are drawn to the cross. You know, the cross is a curious thing to a lot of people. Some of my favorite people were cross wearers. I could get them born again faster than anything you ever seen. One time we were working in this gym, there were these bodybuilders going there, and some of them guys had, their arms were bigger than my legs, you know. I mean, these guys were just big. One time we were walking into the, we were in the gym, we were walking down this thing, and there was this one of them big guys in there. He was a big guy, and he had a cross on him. On his neck. Yeah. I walked up there and I grabbed that cross and I said, "Is this a good luck charm to you, or does it really mean something to you?" His eyes got about that big. This guy could have broke me in half. He looked at me and said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And I said, "Have you met Jesus, your Lord and Savior?" He said, "No, I've been waiting for somebody to tell me something about this." He got born again right on the spot. Be bold. You know, Jesus was the most radical witness that ever walked the face of this earth. And if we got Christians running around trying not to offend somebody, you know, Jesus was walking down the street one day and a funeral procession come down the thing. And this widow was there and said, "That's my only son." And so he raised him back to life right in the middle of the funeral procession. That's pretty radical. And we got Christians that are afraid to witness to people because it might offend them. That ain't good. You want to know what I tell people? I say, "Well, if I'm offensive to you, you're really going to be offended when you get to hell, because that's the most offensive place there is." You got cut to the chase. Sometimes people just need to be shocked into reality. Amen? Turn over to Colossians chapter 2. Verse 14. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." It's because of his blood. "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." We are saved by his blood. His shed blood is our source of salvation. Amen? Not our works, not our talents, not our money. It's by his shed blood. The blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that ever hit the face of this earth. And it is still alive. And it is still working. And it's still washing away sins. Amen? And it made you as white as wool. As far as the east is from the west. That's how far your sins have been removed. Here's a geography lesson for you. This is a freebie. You can take off from good old Fort Davis and head north. And if you don't freeze to death in Wyoming, Montana, keep going. Keep going. And pretty soon you'll hit the North Pole. Your very next step will be headed south. You can't help it. But you can take off and head east. And you can go east for an eternity. Isn't that cool? Your sins have been taken as far away from you as the east is from the west, never to be seen again. Now look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. That makes my heart feel good. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." See, fear keeps people defeated. You know, fear is a mystery to man. That's why there's so much fear of death to people. And we were not created to die. We'll get to that a little bit later. But fear of death, God didn't give that to you. Death was not part of God's plan. Death was not part of God's plan. If you want to find out how things are supposed to be, go to the beginning, go to the garden, and check it out how things were before the fall of Adam. That's how things were supposed to be. Amen? That's our natural environment in the presence of God. The fear of dying didn't come about until after the fall. The thing about Satan is you don't have to defeat the devil. Jesus has already done that. You enforce what he has done in his name. We're going to go to one of my very favorite verses. Go to John chapter 14, verse 12. You know, I was struggling along some lines and I had accepted some boundaries, some limitations from different preachers, from different people, my own ideas, my own thoughts, and different things. But I knew that there was something I was missing. Because God said he's no respecter of persons. So that means that if Peter and Paul could do it, then I ought to be able to do it. I couldn't quite get my head wrapped around that, you know, I had Jesus at a whole different level. But I was firmly convinced that if Jesus, or that if Paul and Peter could do it, then I ought to be able to do it. Because God is no respecter of persons, right? Check this out. This is from Jesus, the greatest faith preacher that ever walked the face of this earth. I like to say that. You know, he was a preacher. He was a prophet, and he was a pastor, he was an evangelist, and an apostle. Everything. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, that pretty much clears the slate right there. You need to skip right over Peter and Paul. If Jesus could do it, you can do it. Why? He made you a joint heir. You know, we just sang that song. You're a joint heir with Christ. That's not just joint heir in money. That's joint heir in anointing and power. And then he gave you the use of his name. He gave you the power of attorney to use his name. That means when you say something to the devil has to honor that. When you use the name of Jesus, he has to bow his knee to the name of Jesus. And, you know, you don't have to be any special kind of a hot rod. You know, because Jesus said, you do the asking, and he'd do the doing. I mean, you say, devil, you get out of here in the name of Jesus. And Jesus is right there to enforce that. Amen? Well, why don't it work for me? So you're not going to receive something that you don't believe. And you're not going to believe something that you don't feed on. So you're going to have to look at it. Look at that verse for what it is. You know, I had to scrape off a whole bunch of religious ideas, you know, that weren't true. Jesus right there said, he outranks any preacher I know on the face of this earth. He said, I can do it, I can do it. He said, you can do it, you can do it. Amen? So what do we got to do? Pull the trigger. What if I make a mistake? I'll give you a clue. My pastor used to tell me, he said, God can hit a bullseye with a crooked stick. All you got to do is just throw that puppy out there. Use the name of Jesus. He'll make perfect what you mess up. Amen? You got the power of the Holy Spirit on your side. You got it. You got everything it takes to be a demon destroyer. All you got to do is just get out there and do it. You don't have to go through 15-hour deliverance sessions to get somebody set free from the devil. Did you know that? You can do that in the gas station parking lot where nobody even... You can just be praying. People be walking back and forth, not have any idea what's going on. And the guy that you prayed for walks away free. Amen? Hollywood messed that deal up. There's no... You don't have to scream at the devil. That's a rock and roll song. You don't have to scream at the devil. You just tell him in the name of Jesus. It's the word and the name and the blood that removes that rat. Amen? You just enforce what Jesus has done for you. Now here's another one. We won't probably get through all of it, but in the Old Testament, God had particular designs and blueprints and ways to make things. And he had this temple, and he wanted this temple. This thing had to be exactly the way he told them to make it. And they would make it exactly just the way he told them to. And there was walls in these temples. And in these certain places, these walls would keep the women separated from the priests and keep the Levites separated over here. There was an outer wall. And the Gentiles stayed outside of the outer wall. And the Jews would hang signs on the outside of that wall. Say, any Gentile get caught in here, your death is on your own hands. Well, God had his people, the Jews. He started this whole thing out with them. These were the children of Abraham. He started this out. They were in covenant with him. And the way for Gentiles had not been paved yet. Had not been paid for by Jesus' blood yet. That way, you know, that's what they used to call Christianity back a long, 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 long time ago. A couple thousand years ago. They called it the way. The way. Why did they say that? Well, because they said now, the way to the Father has been cleared. Jesus broke down that middle wall of partition. Now, the way to the Father has been made. So, remember, always go back to the garden. I'll skip ahead just a little bit so you can get kind of a picture of this. Not only were the Gentiles separated from God, but the Jews were separated from God too. See, in the garden, I'm really skipping one step ahead, but we don't have enough time to finish this step, but I'm going to give you just a preview of next Sunday. In the garden, Adam and Eve, they were evidently doing pretty good, and things were going well for them. And then Adam ate of this tree of knowledge, or this tree of knowledge. So then he knew the difference between right and wrong. A lot of people think that's why Adam got kicked out of the garden. Because he ate of that one tree that he was not supposed to eat of. But if you go ahead just a little bit further, you'll see God saying now, because Adam has done this, and the tree of life is sitting there, I cannot have him eat of that tree of life and live forever. Ever in this sin state. So he removed him from the garden and put cherubims and a flaming sword at the entrance of the garden. And from then on, men were making attempts, one after another, after another, after another, to get back in the presence of God. That's how we come up with all these Eastern religions, all these different religious ideas, tacked with God. But nobody could build a bridge the way God does. It took him 2 boards, 3 nails, and 1 lamb. And he built the perfect bridge from heaven to earth. Just opposite of the way man was doing. Man was trying to build a bridge from earth to heaven. God built a bridge from heaven to earth. And he invaded our world with his word. And we called him Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your word that comes into our hearts and makes us free. We thank you for the liberty that we have in Christ. We thank you for the ability that you have given us to open your word and learn of Jesus so that we can become stronger and stronger in the faith because of his grace. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have, what is that?
Monkey bread.
Monkey bread. We got monkey bread and coffee fellowship back here and the board meeting. Come on back.